know all you came here to say. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, let me see you get loose. Going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're braving the freezing rain out there as the weather in Cleveland continues to get worse, to be lovely this time of year. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, talking Browns here for the next 2 hours with you. We will have the Browns offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, in studio with us at 2 p.m., lots to talk about with the new offensive coordinator. If you have questions for John DeFilippo, get those questions to me or to Matt Wilhelm or to Browns underscore daily. Tweet us at Nathan Zagura, at Browns underscore daily, and of course, at Matt Wilhelm 35. Get us those questions. We will ask the best ones to the new offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns. We'll hear from Josh McCown as well. His teleconference yesterday, we'll play that for you at 1:30. Again, John DeFilippo at 2 o'clock, and we'll do a little after further review in the second hour as well. The hot topics today, again, continued reaction to Josh McCown. Are you kind of getting a little bit more comfortable with this signing and where it fits in the overall scheme of things for the Cleveland Browns?
Or if you're not, tune in and voice your opinion. Yes. Tell us why.
Also, Peter King was on Hey Tony this morning, said if the Browns want Marcus Mariota, they should definitely move up and grab him. Do you agree or disagree? And then the wide receiver position. Some updates are from around the league. Brian Hartline, we know, was released yesterday. Reports have him in the building. I believe you've seen
there him. Is a Buckeye in the building.
There's a Buckeye in the building.
And it's not Ted Ginn, and he happens to play wide receiver.
And it's not Matt Wilhelm.
And it's not me.
So there's a Buckeye in the building today. Andre Johnson's been given permission to seek a trade from the Texans, or he will be cut. If you're the Browns, do you make a play for him? He's only getting about $10 million a year, which is for him. I know that he's on the downside of his career, but that's an interesting discussion. Are the Browns at the point where that kind of piece is worth it? He's going to be good in the locker room. He's a consummate professional and can still play, be a number
future
one
Hall
receiver.
Future Hall of Famer.
No question about it. And, of course, as I said, get your questions in for Flip, the Browns' new offensive coordinator, who will be with us at 2 o'clock today. Matt, good to be with you as always.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to start with an off-Browns topic real quickly.
Sure.
Did you see the tweet from the Rockets with the King James thing and James Harden on it?
I did.
I hope the Cavs get to play them in the finals because there's already some bad blood. It has a chance for like a greasy finals.
That would be a great finals. I would like that because as talented are, you know, as the Warriors are with Curry and Thompson, I think that the Harden and I think the hatred that everyone has nationally for Dwight Howard would fuel the fire in the favor of the Cleveland Cavaliers to take down the Rockets.
And it would be good, and people are saying, you know, that, well, the Cavs didn't have Kyrie. Don't forget the Rockets didn't have Dwight Howard in that game either.
Right,
not that he's great. What do you think about the fact that James Harden was suspended for a game for that kick?
I watched the video again this morning, and
we're grown men here. Come on.
Yeah, I think, again, it was like, you know, LeBron overreacted a little bit. But you know what? What do you do? Like, what would anybody do when any object, whether it's a foot, a ball, a punch, whatever it is, hits your groin when you're not expecting it. And I'm sure in LeBron's case, he was aggressively trying to get the ball from James Harden. James Harden goes to his back. And as LeBron explained after the basketball game, you know, him and James Harden had a great relationship. They just were together at the All-Star game. They enjoy each other's company. They played on the Olympic teams together. And it was the last thing in his mind was that he thought a kick was coming. And that's why he was taken so off guard. And maybe why he overreacted the way he did.
I'm surprised they suspended Harden, though, for a game for that.
I mean, and you got to figure, getting suspended without pay on that kind of salary is probably...
That's a good chunk of change.
You know, probably 300 grand.
It is a good chunk of change.
Yes,
I don't think there's any question about it. So James Harden suspended. I just thought it was interesting they would come out and troll the Cavs with the King James thing. That's a little bit aggressive.
And that's an organizational message.
Yeah, that was
which is very surprising. It's not a player, you know, acting upon their own. That's the, you know, they had to go through, be filtered through a few approvals to actually hit... You know, the timeline on Twitter.
And we'll start with some news from around the league yesterday. The franchise tags were handed out. And, of course, you had Dez Bryant getting tagged.
No surprise.
You had Demaryius Thomas getting tagged. Jason Pierre-Paul got tagged. Justin Houston got tagged. And then you also had Steven Gostkowski get tagged by the New England Patriots when many people thought that they were actually going to tag
Devin McCourty.
Arguably the best safety, certainly the best safety on the market.
I want to throw something out. Did you happen to see the video by Roberto, I believe Roberto Flores of ESPN?
Roflo, yes.
Yeah, about Dez Bryant and about how, you know, his third, just being very relevant about his $13 million and his tag and about, and then he goes in on the NFL and their structure of salaries and so on and so forth. And, you know, kind of comparing it to basketball and baseball with guaranteed salaries. And then, of course, he throws the jab in at the end about Liam Neeson, about made $20 million for the you know, abomination that was Taken 3. So put that into perspective. Dez Bryant's going to risk his career. You know, this
Taken was so good. He
Taken
earned
was
it.
Good.
Taken was great.
Yeah, Taken was great. But Taken 2 and Taken 3?
Part of a franchise.
Yeah, oh, God. You know, it's like that's that follow-up. Like Karate Kid, Karate Kid Part 1, Karate Kid Part 2. I'll give it to Rocky 4.
Rocky 4 was the peak of Rocky.
Rocky 4 was the peak of Rocky. Rocky 5?
Yeah, not so good.
Not so good.
Not so good. Caddyshack, good. Caddyshack 2, not so good. So those were the five tags. The last one was interesting. Those are the five franchise tags. There was also a transition tag, and Browns fans certainly know about the transition tag because last year it was used on Alex Mack. So Charles Clay, the tight end for the Miami Dolphins, who many teams were said to be interested in this offseason and pursuing him as a free agent tight end, I thought could have been a nice fit for the Browns if Jordan Cameron is not back with this team. He's under the transition tag. So now,
which is about what? $7
million, $7.07 million.
The franchise tag would have been about 8.5, 8.6. Okay.
Yep. So they save about 1.6, but they could lose him now and not get any compensation for it. Clay can sign an offer sheet with any team. The Dolphins have the right to match any contract, but it is possible for his team to, you know, try to schedule or structure it in a way that would make it painful
for
the Dolphins to
yes.
try to match. So that is one of the, you know, it's always an interesting dilemma when you go with that tag. And certainly the Browns, they came under fire for it last year. Just kind of put it in perspective, when you look at the salary cap of and cap space, the Browns have about $53 million or so in cap space. The Dolphins are down at 9. So they don't have a lot of room. So if a team wanted to go after Charles Clay, you front load the deal early and then let it even out as the deal goes on to try to make it a little bit tougher for the Dolphins to foot that bill. So that'll be an interesting one to see how that ends up playing out.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think, you know, and we saw it firsthand last year as Jacksonville got aggressive, I believe, correct, in pursuing Alex Mack, and Cleveland did everything they could to keep the Pro Bowler here. And now we know how valuable a player like that is, and in most cases he probably deserved the franchise tag, which have secured him to Cleveland, and it gave us an opportunity to secure the ultimate contract, which we did. But it's putting those things at risk. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if a team who is desperate for a playmaker offensively at the tight end position throws a lot of money and dangles that big carrot in front of a guy, regardless of how happy you are within a system in that city with your family, you will up and leave for more money.
No question. And last year with the Browns, the only team to put an offer on transition tag Alex Mack was the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Browns matched it, and now Mack is obviously still here with the Cleveland Browns. So that's stuff that's going on. Peter King on Hey Tony today saying that if the Browns want Mariota, they need to trade up and get him. So that probably means at least 12 and 19, the two first-round picks, and probably something in addition to that to go up into the top five to make sure you can get Mariota, which means you would have used three first-round picks in two seasons on the quarterback position.
I'm not in favor of that. And also, too, just to kind of continue our conversation via text as we jumped that, I know Pete Prisco's, you know, new mock draft 1.0, I believe it's his first, had – you know, Cleveland addressing the wide receiver position at both 12 and 19 because of what was available. He has a lot of pass rushers coming off the draft, but the move that he had in regards to Marcus Mariota was Philly getting a deal done to move up to 6 and take Mariota.
I think that's what's going to happen. Chip Kelly wants him, I think Chip Kelly's going to get him.
And now that Chip Kelly has control, which is why they're going to give up everything to go get him.
I think the conspiracy theorist in me thinks that the reason that he made that power play was strictly so that he would have the ability, because I think he knows Howie Roseman would not
right.
have made it
closer
because
to
he
the vest,
doesn't,
think, doesn't see value in trading
doesn't
up.
See the value in that. And I think he wanted to have that freedom to go do it because I think that's who he wants to be his guy, period.
Yeah, and I think after this year, Chip Kelly can rescind all those responsibilities now that he's got his guy.
He's got his guy. And they just cut Kerry Williams today, the cornerback formerly of the Baltimore Ravens. The Eagles cut him, freeing up some cap space for
now,
them.
Now, could Buster Screen end up in Philly now? Because they're in
need of corner. Buster Screen could. Byron Maxwell was a name that was thrown out as being linked to the Philadelphia Eagles. So, yes, I think that they will be in the market for a corner, and they just freed up some money. Does put another corner on the market, but the word right now around the league is that Buster Screen is going to be a fairly hot commodity.
Yes.
Going to be a fairly hot commodity. Speaking of cornerbacks, I don't know if you saw this picture earlier today. Joe Hayden tweeted it out. I retweeted it. It's a picture of Joe Hayden working out with Justin Gilbert.
It's awesome.
And I think, number one, immediately, what do I think of that? I think that's great. I think Justin Gilbert, Joe Haden, phenomenal. The more that he can be around him, the better. But also in the picture, Justin Gilbert looks to be in absolutely phenomenal condition.
Does he?
Phenomenal.
He will have to find it.
He looks bigger than he did a year ago. He looks strong, physically bigger, and he is jacked.
That's all fine and good, okay? And there's a phrase that has been coined many times in the National Football League, both in the combine and also two-winded player. Look like Tarzan, play like Jane. So we will see what he shows up and what he does when it is time, because you can lift all the weights and run as fast as you want, and we've seen it time and time again, you know, especially at the combine. But these guys come in, and sometimes they just, their game, you know, they look the part, but their game doesn't transfer. We hope it does because of how high Cleveland drafted him and the future that he is at corner here.
Listen, there's nothing, you can't take anything but positive away from the fact that he is in his offseason with Joe Haden right now.
You got to love it.
Working out. That's good.
You have to
love opportunity to pick his brain, opportunity to be there. I think that is fantastic. Do you want Andre Johnson here? What do you think about that? What do you think about the free agent wide receivers that are available to the Browns? Of course, reports have Brian Hartline in the Browns building here today. What do you guys think about that position, Andre Johnson? What do you think about Mariota? Continued reaction to McCown. And again, you guys are already getting these in, but we will have John DeFilippo, the Browns offensive coordinator, in studio at 2 o'clock today. Get your questions in for him. We've got some of our own, but get your questions in as well, and we will go through those with the Browns' new offensive coordinator. Great guy, a lot of energy, and it's certainly going to be exciting to get a chance to talk to him and get his take on the staff, on this team, on the players here.
On the future, on what we're going to see this year. That's what I'm excited about. I want to hear, you know, the X's and O's, you know,
sure,
side of things.
What
I'm
is it going to be?
You Browns fans are very interested. How are we going to utilize those two young running backs? You know, how are we going to utilize, you know, what type of passing game? Is it going to be crossing routes? Is it going to be deep routes? Those types of things. That's what I'm excited to find out about this offense.
And I want to find out, too, what's his view on the wide receiver position? How important is the wide receiver position to him? What did he think? Because obviously he was evaluating quarterbacks because they drafted a quarterback in Derek Carr. What was he think? What did he think of Johnny Manziel when he evaluated
sure.
him coming out of college?
Absolutely.
How does he think Johnny Manziel can translate into his offense? He's got Josh McCown. We'll talk about their history together. Everything, all the stuff that we can talk about with the offense coordinator, we will. And tee us up with the questions at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, and we will get to those. Again, lots to come still today. The bottom of this first hour, Josh McCown's teleconference from yesterday. We've got DeFilippo, Flip, as they call him, at 2 p.m., the Browns offensive coordinator. 2:30, we'll play a little after for the review. But want to hear from you. Keep those tweets coming. Keep the phone calls, 216-578-0850. Your thoughts on McCown still. Thoughts on Mariota, trade for him, after you heard Peter King on Hey Tony with Tony Grossi earlier this morning on ESPN Cleveland. What do you think about that? The receivers? Is Andre Johnson the kind of guy that maybe the Browns could take a look at? Let's talk about it. 216-578-0850. Zagura Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're gonna be okay anyway. You know there's no